powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Monday, starting another week right. This hour of Jake and Stacy brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Jake is on vacation instead. We are lucky enough to be joined by Michael Bumpus. Hey, Bump.
What's going on? How you doing?
Have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Got to watch the Masters. My mom was in town. I also played some golf. Can't complain. How was yours?
Awesome. Mine was good. I did not play golf. I was okay with that. No one wants to see that. Now, there was also some news over the weekend, and it kind of got our wheels spinning as we were all talking about the show today. And you know, credit Curtis Rogers for pointing this out to us. Guys, Seattle owns Minnesota, I think. I think it's safe to say Seattle owns Minnesota. I mean, let's take a trip just recent memory lane, not even too far back. Of course, you got this comeback by the Seahawks last year against the Vikings.
Russell, look out. He's going to fire inside, reaching up, making a catch. Does he hang on? He does. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown, Seahawks, and it's Metcalf, who reaches up and makes the catch, crossing the field, making the catch in the middle of the end zone. And Russell finds him and throws a dart. And absolutely no doubt about it, Russell Wilson comes back for his 34th career fourth quarter or overtime comeback. And Seattle now leads 27-26.
And, Bump, that's not even reserved to just the NFL. I mean, there are other Seahawks games we can play. But instead, you know, I want to remind you, the Sounders scoring three goals after the 75th minute to win the Western Conference Championship against Minnesota United here.
Well, Alonso or what? Luis Diaz here. He comes down and spins it. I can't even find the words, but Seattle's found their goal.
Oh, man. I mean, you love to see it, except that there's more. There's even more.
Because
just yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, you got the Mariners' comeback versus the Twins.
Colome, deep side, delivers. Here's a swing and a fly ball into right center field. And deep going back is Buxton looking up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It kept going and going and going. Kyle Seager with a three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. Second home run of the day. Drives in his second, third, and fourth run of the ball game, and the Mariners now lead it 8-6. Holy smokes, what a comeback for the Mariners this afternoon here in Minnesota.
I mean, Bump.
I mean,
Come on.
Minnesota. I apologize, but then I don't apologize.
I don't.
It's almost like we're expanding our territory east. We got the Northwest. Now we're working on the Midwest. People forget that drive against the Vikings, two fourth down conversions, both to Metcalf. One down the sideline, one for a touchdown. The Sounders game was nuts. I turned it off for a bit because I was frustrated. My brother-in-law told me to turn it back on. And then last night, I mean, down 0-6 going into the sixth inning, and then these guys find a way to win. Minnesota. I apologize, but I don't apologize.
I do apologize. I'm sure I've always heard good things about Minnesota. Wonderful people.
Big mall over there.
But huge mall. Love the Mighty Ducks franchise. Unfortunately, I have to be honest with you guys. And there's a chance that outside of just owning Minnesota sports teams, maybe one of those is going to be the NBA team. Just maybe. It could happen. This news coming from over the weekend, I'm sure by now you guys have all heard it. Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr are finalizing a deal to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that includes the Minnesota Lynx, from the majority owner Glenn Taylor.
Wait, now, beg pardon. Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I didn't stutter there. Alex Rodriguez,
A-Rod.
The A-Rod, who at one point was hated by every single, not even Mariners fan, just people that didn't even watch baseball were like, I hate that guy too. I hate him for what he did. But throwing Monopoly money at this guy, he could bring the NBA back to Seattle.
And he should, right? After how he broke everyone's hearts up here in the Northwest, this is him not only showing up to beg for forgiveness with flowers. He's got flowers. He's got chocolates. He bought a new car on the driveway for you. He's going to take you out on a trip. If A-Rod is able to pull this off. Now, see, I was in California when all this happened. So I had to ask Curtis and Stace. I'm like, all right, tell me how you really felt about this. After feeling the pain that was in their voice, I'm like, all right, A-Rod, you have to do this. You have to get this done. Does that change the way you view A-Rod if he makes this happen?
Curtis, I already told you that my opinion of A-Rod was changed with J-Lo, but I think that you have even stronger feelings.
Well, I think if Alex Rodriguez were to bring basketball back to the city of Seattle, first off, that would be the most unforeseen thing in this whole entire NBA Seattle drama. Think back to where this town was in 2008, consistently booing Alex Rodriguez every time he steps to the plate, throwing fake money at him when he was with the Rangers and the Yankees. You tell every single people that was in the stands those nights at then Safeco Field, now T-Mobile Park, hey, you know that guy that you just have the most vitriol towards right now?
You know that guy you're teaching your kid to boo?
Yeah. That person is going to have an opportunity to bring basketball back to the city of Seattle. And they're going to be like, wait a minute, where did it go? Where did the Sonics go? And so now, just the most unforeseen possibility here. One of the biggest villains in this city's sports culture could potentially be the guy that brings the NBA back to Seattle one day. It's mind-boggling, really.
The face turn. The face turn. Yes. See, I was calling it a heel turn. Curtis corrected me. But I can't think of someone else. We were thinking of what would be the equivalent of this. And Curtis was like, it's like if Howard Schultz decided to buy a team and bring it here. But it's even bigger than that. It's bigger than that because Howard Schultz, everyone already hates. There was a while there when A-Rod was going to be the savior of your franchise. And then he left you high and dry. And you were angry at him because you felt like he lied about it. He could be the one to bring it back.
I just can't wait to see. I just can't wait to talk to you guys when it actually happens. I just want to, like, I feel like you're going to be confused. Like, am I happy? Well, how do I feel in this situation? I hope he brings it back. This is a basketball state, basketball city. There's ballers in the NBA every single year that are produced are out of here. Yep. Why this market deserves a basketball team. If A-Rod makes it happen, hey, he's going to be able to walk down the street with his head held high.
Oh, 1,000%. Now, let's backtrack just a little bit. I want to get back to this conversation. In fact, we're going to not just be talking about it in a couple minutes, but we're going to be taking your calls at noon. Don't call in yet, but just hang tight, because what I want to know is if you could you bury the hatchet with A-Rod if he brought back the Sonics? I want you to think carefully about it. Be honest about your own hate for him that you've been harboring for years and years and years, and question whether you could put it aside if he brought back the Sonics. And before I do any of that, I have another question for you, Bump, you, Curtis, and I'll answer it too. How do we feel in general about taking a team from another city? Because I got to be honest, I don't think I'm okay with it.
You know where I'm from, right, Stace? L.A.?
I do.
Lakers, Minnesota.
Exactly.
Dodgers,
you're
Brooklyn.
Given teams.
Even the Rams were Cleveland, apparently. I just found out at some point. And we got the Chargers. It's what we do. I'm all good with it. Take a team. Especially from Minnesota. They don't even fill the arena. Take a team. We jack fools, okay?
That's exactly what you do. You're like, oh, well, this team is bad. Let's bring in another one. Bring in another team. What's happening in St. Louis?
They even took the worst team in town, the Clippers from San Diego.
Exactly.
That's what we do.
You guys are like poachers.
We got a place for you here.
Bump has no problem with it. Curtis, how are you feeling about it?
Look, don't do unto others or what's the saying?
The golden rule. Yeah. Do unto others as you would want done to you.
Well, I'm going to do to Minnesota what happened here. I don't
care.
Okay,
you're doing the reverse.
I don't care at all about taking a team from another city. Like, it happened here. And you know what? That's just the business of sports. That is something that absolutely happens in every market. If your market hasn't been touched by relocation, consider yourself lucky, because it goes down so often, across, especially in the NBA. Like, that is a league that moves teams at the drop of a hat. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are the worst franchise in the NBA now. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They've made one playoff appearance in, I think, 15 or 16 seasons.
Their
only superstar player they've ever had is Kevin Garnett. He is that franchise, and that franchise doesn't even want to have anything to do with him right now. And why would he want to have anything to do with them either? They've been so bad. What are we doing wasting our time keeping this team in Minnesota as they've been so bad for so long?
I just don't like the idea. Here's the thing. Even if they do it this way, Will I be looking for tickets on opening? 1,000%. I will be there the second the tickets are available. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be protesting anything. When it happens, I'm going to be like, oh, I don't know. I feel kind of bad about it as I'm like buying my gear online. Like, I will be completely hypocritical about it. But I do hate the idea. And Bump, your city has a lot of experience in this. Mm-hmm. I hate the idea of like billionaire owners lording like relocation over cities unless fans pay for stadiums and all these things that the owners basically like holding towns hostage, like buy this new arena or I'm relocating. I just hate it. I hate what it does. It's heartbreaking for fans. Here in Seattle, we know how it feels. Other cities know exactly how it feels.
You are just so nice, Stace.
No, you know what I am? I'm trying to avoid karma. Ultimately, it's in my own self-interest. What if, and I was listening to Danny O'Neill say this morning, what if the Timberwolves are relocated to Seattle and you have exactly what has happened to OKC when they are relocated? You've got like a curse on you and you're never good.
OKC was good. OKC had some good years over there.
They did, but you've got a little bit of like this kind of karmic justice.
And I think Seattle, the perception to the public of Seattle is different now than it was back in the day. I think people will want to come here. We were talking off air. The Seahawks have changed the game when it comes to national notoriety, when it comes to the Seattle market. And I think that if a basketball team does come here, people are going to want to be a part of this.
Yes. Yes.
So do it. It's survival of the fittest. Timberwolves, Minnesota, fill your arena.
Put
a good basketball team on the court, and you won't have to worry about nobody trying to jack you.
I want to know how you guys feel at noon. Again, we're taking calls. Most importantly, we're taking calls about whether or not you would be able to bury the hatchet with A-Rod. Would this do it for you? And we're still figuring out the details of this. In the latest piece I read from The Athletic, people are assuming that there's going to be language in the deal itself, which is still being finalized, that would dictate that Minnesota stay the home of the Timberwolves. But Curtis, as you pointed out, that rarely ever matters.
Yeah, once this deal is finalized and Glenn Taylor, the current Timberwolves owner, moves out of the way in 2 years, as he said, 2023 is when Alex Rodriguez and his partner take over majority control of the team. I mean, how much say does Glenn Taylor really have in how that franchise operates going forward? ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the preeminent NBA newsmaker, says this, quote, Alex Rodriguez has discussed keeping the Timberwolves in Minnesota with new ownership, but Rodriguez's ties to Seattle and that city's desire for a return of an NBA franchise could become an issue in the long term, end quote.
I mean, and you guys on the text line, listeners are making such good points here. Now, they're varying all over the spectrum. Some people saying, I wouldn't change my mind about A-Rod. Some people saying, I never hated A-Rod. I can't blame him. Some people saying, hey, I would take this team in a heartbeat. For instance, 206 says, look, stealing team's problematic, but karma's on our side. So maybe this is when you need to look at it. Maybe you need to consider, if I found $20 on the sidewalk, maybe it's because I did so many nice things lately and I deserve to find that $20.
Half empty, half full. It's all about how you look at the situation. I encourage it. I hope it goes down. And so what? You think A-Rod's not going to look those guys in their eye and shake their hand and say, no, we're not going to move Minnesota? He also said he wouldn't leave Seattle because of money.
Exactly.
And ended up doing
now
that.
Now we're looking at what A-Rod did.
So
we're
bring
like,
him.
Do it again,
exactly.
A-Rod. Keep lying.
Exactly.
Keep lying, A-Rod. This be the A-Rod we know and love and have never hated. Ever, ever, ever. Roll the tape. Never, ever have we said a bad thing about A-Rod. Huge A-Rod fans.
We're A-Rod 710.
Everyone knows this. We've constantly said good things about him. Never in Seattle has anyone critiqued him for taking money anywhere else. So
nope.
Why wouldn't he want to come here? That's my opinion about it.
I'm with you.
Curtis, I have a question before any of this happens.
Okay.
Have you already buried the hatchet with A-Rod? Because it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I think, like you said, his relationship with Jennifer Lopez definitely increased his persona, like in the public eye. Like, this is a guy that it seems like a more normal guy than what he was near the end of his career with the Yankees. But, man, there's just something about him that still rubs me the wrong way. And maybe it is how he left the city of Seattle, or maybe how it is, or maybe it's because he denied his PED usage for so long in Major League Baseball and then came clean only about halfway, and then there was more to it, and then got suspended a full season and just didn't really, you know, ever fully come clean with that, even though he had served his suspension. That, to me, has rubbed the wrong way with Alex Rodriguez. But look, if all of that means that the Sonics can return one day, you know what? I can forgive. I can forgive and I can forget.
All those guys were juicing in that era. Like, everyone was juicing. How many of those guys actually stood up and said,
right,
yes, I did it. It was me. He was protecting himself. It was wrong. He lied. Yes, he might be seen as a bit shady, but you got personal interest now. He can bring a team to Seattle. You have to forgive the guy.
I think one of my favorite things I've heard from both of you is spinning the idea that A-Rod has been a masterful liar over the course of his career into, like, don't stop now.
Exactly.
Keep it going.
This is your brand.
This is your brand. Promise you'll keep the team there and then lie about it. Oh, A-Rod, I would just love this. Again, we're taking calls coming up at noon, so don't go anywhere. But right now, it's 11:15. That means it's time for Three Questions, brought to you by Tela Mortgage.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Question number one. Are the Seahawks starting corners for 2021 already on the roster?
Yeah, they're here. They're here. You got DJ Reed. You got Witherspoon on the other side. You got Trey Flowers, who's going to compete. I think you got your guys. You're not going to make these moves and not give it a shot. You look at the film of Witherspoon. I like what he brings to the table. He's long. He reacts to the football. And he's not afraid to hit. I think that's what made Sherman, part of what made Sherman a great corner, is that he'd come down and he'd make tackles. You're going to get that out of Witherspoon. And then DJ, 5'9". I'm always with the small guys. I'm 5'11", so you smaller guys out there, let's go. Get your money. I love the way he plays with intensity, with some pride. We'll see if he's in the kick return game. They already have their corner set, ready to go.
I agree with you, and I think you have to look at what they have to spend, or in this case, not to spend, right? Like, they don't really have the resources right now to get a solid market and pen starting corner, even if they draft one. Say their first pick of the draft at 56 overall, they don't trade down and they take a corner. There's no guarantee that guy's starting. He's going to come in as a rookie. He might have been great in college, but he's still got to learn the ropes, and he's still going to make rookie mistakes. He's not going to be like a top 10 pick. He's going to come in and probably have a learning curve, which still leaves you with the corners you have now as your starting guys. So I agree with you, Bump. I think it's the guys they have on the roster now.
Number two.
Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters yesterday convincingly. So my question to you guys is, would you rather win a team sports championship or an individual title like the Masters?
Ooh, you know what? As much as I lean into being selfish as a joke, I gotta go with team, because you celebrate with the team. The individual championship is fine. It's an honor. Your specific name is attached to it. But when you work hard with a group of people and it finally happens and then you celebrate with them, there's probably nothing like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's nothing like having success and sharing it with people you love and grinded with. But we're talking about the Masters. We're talking about the hardest game in all the land and the hardest tournament. The Masters, you know, I can pop bottles with my boys after I leave the 18th hole. I will take the Masters over anything. If it's not the Masters, then I'm going team sports.
They only make one green jacket.
Only one.
They
one.
Don't make 50 of them.
Only one.
Number three.
Controversial finish last night between the Phillies and Braves on Sunday Night Baseball. Here's how it sounded as Phillies first baseman Alec Bohm tried to score from third. Did he touch home plate or not?
And the next pitch swung on, popped up, shallow left field. Ozuna coming in to make the catch. Bohm is coming home. The throw not in time. Darnold had it on a bounce and tried to lunge at Bohm for the tag, but Bohm in just ahead of it as the Phillies have taken a 7-6 lead.
Now, replay showed Bohm did not touch home plate. The call was sent upstairs to the replay official. They did not reverse it, so Bohm was ruled safe, and the Phillies won the game 7-6 against Atlanta. So my question to you guys is instant replay across all sports actually accomplishing what it's supposed to?
No, it's not. Pass interference rules. Let's go back to the Rams versus the Saints, and then you have this. Conforto poked his elbow out a couple days ago. It's almost like these refs are afraid to overturn the call. Like, if that's the way you think about it, the way you see it, then just get rid of replay and just deal with human error. But no, that makes me upset to see that. Because We all looked at that same film, and we all came to the same conclusion. He did not touch the plate. What's holding these guys back? There has to be someone upstairs or some their superior holding them back from overturning calls.
Now, I don't mind that the set standard that we have across major leagues is unless there's clear and indisputable evidence. If you see it again on replay and you're not sure and you can't say without a doubt that that penalty was incorrect or that call was incorrect or whatever it was, I don't mind that. I like the idea of, hey, you need clear evidence. How is this not clear evidence?
Clear.
How is it not clear evidence? I mean, Bump, we rewatched it with you this morning. Before even seeing the replay, you said he didn't touch it.
Yeah.
I mean,
in real time, you could see he did not, touch that play.
From the broadcast angle. Yeah. Not even the replay. And when you see it on replay from two different angles, it's clear that he didn't. I don't know how you go back and look at that and don't overturn it. Like, I truly don't. What's our standard?
I'm developing trust issues with
exactly.
these referees now.
That's exactly.
I'm like,
right.
Just don't even show me the replay. I won't even look at the replay anymore because I'm not going to trust you even more.
Curtis, what about you?
It's not accomplishing what it set out to do. And I mean, the game was delayed, what, 4 or 5 minutes so that they could come out with the wrong call. Not only are you getting it wrong, but you're making people sit around for X amount of minutes to come up with the wrong answer. Like, that's terrible.
Well, and you have your stars in the game, Mike Trout among them, probably your biggest star, saying that's a wrong call. Like, when you have people very clearly saying, with the NFC Championship between the Saints and the Rams, at that time, it was a horrendous call, but they didn't have challenges for PI, so it was more like, wow, what a bad call on the field. This is horrible, but, like, they didn't have the system where a coach could challenge it. That came as a result of that season, and many people would clearly say as a result of that play in that game. With this, that's what it's set up to do.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like all of us can think of instances where a call has been overturned based on less.
You know what they should do? Take the power out of the ump's hand. Send it to whoever you need to send it to, some guys in a box, and for the NFL, is guys in New York, wherever you got to send it, and let them make the decision so the ump can sit there with his hands up like, look, it wasn't me. Hey, I got the call. This is what they said. Because you got to think there's relationships with referees, umps, and players, and maybe that plays a factor into this whole thing. I've heard players call umps and refs by their first names, you know? So maybe that has something to do with it. Take it out of their hands and let someone else make the decision. Let us make the decision because we got it right.
Yeah. Now, I do want to talk about one other game. We have about 2 minutes here. We're going to be bringing on a special guest at 11:30 in place of Mike Salk, who's on vacation. And we're going to be talking a little bit of Mariners because we're going to have sound from Jerry DePoto. And we'll be getting to that at 11:45. Lots of good baseball talk before we get to any of it. Were you guys listening or watching the Mariners game live?
I was listening. I didn't watch.
I realized that that was the best way to take it in. Like, it felt so summery. It was sunny yesterday. I was detailing my car. I was outside, but I had the car turned on, so I had the car radio playing. And then you hear the comeback in real time, and I was like, I feel like I'm in the middle of summer, and this is how baseball is meant to be experienced. Like, you're just listening by yourself, like, in your driveway, and you're like, wow, this is what it is. This is right. This feels right.
Absolutely.
Makes you paint your own picture. You know, like
they're
describing it for you and you're seeing it in your head. I enjoyed it that way too. I think I was I might have been on the golf course when I was listening to it. Some of it at least. I've come to appreciate listening to baseball games on the radio. I think when I watch it on TV it's fun, you get to see some stuff, but there's nothing like the radio voices are so distinct. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we were telling Rick Riz that when we had him on a while ago, that just even hearing his voice, I feel like it's going to be sunny outside and it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
And it's just a low key. There's an energy that comes along with baseball, particularly listening to play by play, that's unlike any other sport. It's really phenomenal. All right. I said we had a special guest. The Groz, one of our favorites, your favorites, joins us next. More Mariners talk coming your way.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
You are listening to Jake and Stacy. I'm Stacy Rost. Michael Bumpus is in, filling in for Jake Heaps, who's on vacation. We're bringing on a special guest for you guys. Mike Salk is also on vacation. So I thought it would be fun to bring in the Groz, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Groz, there's so much I need to get to. I wish we had 20 minutes. Unfortunately, we have 10, so I'm going to be moving quickly here. First, the question that we are going to be asking listeners in about 30 minutes, could you bury the hatchet with Alex Rodriguez if he brought back the Sonics?
Of course. All is forgiven. I don't know why anyone thinks that'll necessarily happen, but all would be forgiven.
Hey, Garaz, we're watching these Mariners. We've seen Marco struggle a bit, but we've also seen bats get hot. Are you becoming optimistic? I started off, Garaz, I'm telling you, I'm like, look, these guys aren't going to be any good. But then they give me some hope. Where are you at right now?
I like the fact that they've got two big comeback wins. I mean, that speaks very well. The one against San Francisco, and then yesterday was really, really unexpected. I mean, 6-0, they're losing to Minnesota. It looks like it's all said and done, and they make the rally and they come back and win. I mean, that's the stuff that really helps teams going forward. I mean, the worst way you can lose games is to have your closer blow them in the ninth inning. I've always thought that's the most demoralizing way to lose baseball games. But to win from coming from behind is definitely the best way to win. So I'm probably where I was at the start. I'm still in a wait-and-see mode. I still think they've got some issues, and I agree with you on Marco. Boy, he's had two tough starts. But I like the fact that in their first nine games, they've got two big comeback wins. That bodes well, I hope, for the rest of the season.
For anyone listening right now, we've been having some intermittent tech issues throughout the day. So we appreciate your patience with COVID safety, COVID precautions. A lot of us are remote. So we're going to keep it moving and just power through. Garaz, we can still hear you fine. So you're good. I want to get back to our initial question to you about A-Rod bringing back the Sonics. Now, it's more so just a really cool story, but you said if it actually happens, what's your optimism level? Are you a less than 1% chance this actually happens?
With Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from the story that I've seen, and maybe I'm missing something, he's talking to Minneapolis about being, the owner with the Timberwolves, and for that sale to be finalized, they've got to agree not to relocate the team. So if it's about moving the Timberwolves here, that won't happen. He won't be allowed to buy them if that's the case. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll see on that case. But there's likely to be a basketball team, especially now that this arena will be up and running this year and everyone will see how nice it is. And the Kraken will have their first big year and have a big attendance, I predict. But, they're not going to get a team to move. The best way to go with the NBA remains getting an expansion team.
Well, Groz, if something were to happen, I know you just kind of just killed this question I'm about to ask you, but if something were to happen and the team were to relocate to Seattle, are you okay with that? Are you okay snatching another team? Now, I was asked this question. I'm from L.A. We took the Lakers. We took the Dodgers. We took the Chargers.
Horrible.
We take everybody.
People.
How would you feel if Seattle snatched a team and brought them here?
I mean, that's the issue for me. You know, that Seattle is, I think, the only major market with on the West Coast, considering San Francisco and Oakland, and not considering Portland quite yet, that has not stolen a team or taken a team from some other place. They've all originated here. I'm not thrilled by it. I'm not thrilled by it, basically, because I'm still stung from the Sonics situation. I mean, it still is a burn that I feel. So I, for one, am not a big fan of it, though I know that for most people, let's have a team. I mean, no matter what it takes, let's have a team. And I can understand that. But I kind of like the idea that Seattle has always had their own homegrown teams. And I hope that when the NBA comes back, it comes back as an expansion team. But, it's still a little raw for me, to tell you the truth, about the NBA in general.
Yeah, I agree with you. We were kind of talking about this in the Sports Pit before we got on air, and we were joking about karma and stuff like that. And I said, I almost don't like the idea of continuing the trend of relocation when new ownership takes over or when ownership gets angry, because it feels like what you want is for that to end and for it to be harder to do, even though us in Seattle were subject to it.
That's exactly the way I feel, Stacey, too. I mean, just exactly the same way. And look, in Seattle, I mean, I still am upset about it. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. It's been almost 15 years, and it still bothers me to think that the NBA made that move and did that to Seattle fans, a team that was here for 41 years. So, I'm not thrilled with the NBA in general, and I'm definitely not thrilled with the idea of bringing in someone else's team. The NBA has kind of set things in play where they don't want that to be the case. So, you know, that's why it was so difficult to try and get the Sacramento team here. So I think if it happens, if the NBA happens here, it's going to be expansion. And I have no doubt that Seattle will be at the top of that list.
All right, Groz, let's talk about replay. Right, the NFL brought in the pass interference replay challenge thing last year. Didn't work out. MLB is kind of adopting this thing. Last night we saw the game between the Phillies and the Braves in on a controversial call. The ump got it wrong. Guy was running in the home plate. Doesn't touch. Calls him safe, I believe. Yeah, calls him safe. Are you buying into replay, or do you think that we should get rid of it and just deal with human error? Because we're still getting human error.
I mean, that's the question right there, Bump. I mean, that's it right there. If replay is not solving problems, why do you have it? But the flip side is, you know, if you've got this incredible ability to show replays from all those different angles, how can you not use it? I mean, I don't know where I land on that. I mean, you know, part of me believes that human error, especially when you're talking about baseball, is part of the deal. But I can completely understand the idea that, hey, look, we have the technology now to change that. And I for one, look, I'll tell you this much. The way the strike zones are called, I, for one, am 100% behind the idea of having, you know, the strike zone called by replay. Not by replay, but not by umpires, by technology. So I'm not completely opposed to things mm-hmm. like that. But I think it's a really tough call when you're talking about certain plays that you use it for, certain plays that you don't. I mean, you've got it. It's just hard to believe that you can go without using it. I don't really think that just the argument that just, well, it's just part of the game to have umpires and the referees make mistakes. I don't think that holds water anymore. There's just too much and too many different angles on replay to ignore it in so many cases.
Yeah, the robot umps conversation is one of a recent, not recent, but another wave of kind of modifications people want to make to speed up the game. Mm-hmm. Are there any modifications you don't want to see in baseball?
I tell you what, I'd be considered a purist, but I'm going to answer you with one word: no. I'm open to anything. I like the second inning, the second base thing, and extra innings. I like that a lot. You know, I talked when I was filling in with Bob one day with Greg Amsinger of Major League Baseball and MLB Network, and he talked about 7-inning games as being a possibility. I think baseball has got to pull out all the stops at this point, and they've got to be willing to embrace big changes in how the game is played if they want to keep the audience that they've got. And I think that, you know, they've kind of shown the willingness, Manfred has shown the willingness to do that to an extent. And I think stuff like that is good for the game. I think the game has got to evolve some. This is someone who loves the game as it is and wouldn't mind if it didn't. But if you want to attract fans moving forward, you're going to have to make some changes. So I'm not opposed to looking at any and all wild new changes. And like I said, I like the second inning, second base runner in extra innings.
Too.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I know. Bob, was it Bob or Wyman or both that hate it?
Bob hates it.
Oh,
Bob hates it.
I don't mind it, you guys. I really don't.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I like it.
And it's just, right? There are so many other things that I think, like, that's not going to help. That's not going to change anything. But I don't mind that making it. It's just an extras. It's not going to be, you know, too long. I like it. I agree with you, Groz. All right. He is Dave Grosby joining us today. And we love hearing from you. Thanks so much, Groz.
Thank you, Stacey. Good talking to you, Mike.
All right, Groz.
All right, you guys. Jerry DePoto says there's a chance Mariners fans see, and I don't know if I believe this, but both Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez in 2021. This year, 2021. Plus, some optimism about Logan Gilbert's timeline to the bigs. That's all coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey. I'm Stacey Rost. Michael Bump is in with me today. This hour brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Now, Bump, I don't know if you've heard this, but there was a very recent interview that Jerry DePoto gave with Sirius Radio in which he says something that I do not think is happening. And I don't want to take his word for it. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm just saying, like, I will bet the farm this doesn't happen. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
All right. Now, Jerry DePoto is asked both about both top prospects, Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez. And in cut number four, he says both are fast trackers and there's a chance you see both this season.
And similarly with Julio. We think Julio is a fast tracker as well. and he's getting a lot of reps in this co-op league, and we think he'll move very quickly. For him, it's just simply playing. You know, he's only played one season above rookie ball, similar to Jared, and we feel like the two of them together have a chance to move multiple levels, and you know, there's a chance you could see both here in the big leagues, if not in the immediate near term, then certainly by year's end or in 2022.
Again, that was Mariners GM Jerry Dipoto on Sirius XM Radio saying that Julio is on the fast track. We're all expecting to see Kelnick this season. Mm-hmm. If you look at Rodriguez's, like, his profile prior to all of this, it would say like ETA 2023, maybe 22, 23. Kevin Mather said 22, maybe 23. In no world was I expecting him to be here this season.
Nah, and I don't think he is. I hope he's not lying. I hope he's telling the truth. I hope he's being genuine. But listen to the way these guys this organization has talked about their young talent over the last few years. Be patient. We're not going to rush them. Didn't Julio suffer injury last year? Right?
Yeah.
His wrist or something like that.
Fractured.
So he missed some games. Right. That's going to hurt his development. Mm-hmm. So what has he done since then that just makes him come out and go against everything that I've heard for the past year? So was he lying when he was talking about, you know, we're going to take our time with these guys? I don't know. I think he's throwing Mariners fans a bone right now and say, look, hang in there with us. You see what we're doing. You see this potential. You might see this guy. Keep showing up to these games. Keep being invested because you might see Julio out there. I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Kelenic for sure. But Julio, if you're going to take your time with anybody, it's especially him. He got injured last year. He's young. There's no rush. Slow it down.
I will bet my entire bank account that this is not happening. We're talking triple digits, Bump.
Balling.
This is some serious cash. Serious cash. Now,
does Brian know you're doing this?
More on Kelnick, specifically what they want him to accomplish before he comes up to the Bigs Cut 5.
I had a very lengthy talk with Jared, and we talked through the things that we would like to see him accomplish. In addition to getting experience at the upper levels in general, we were specifically detailing, you know, an approach against left-hand pitching. And by no fault of his own, he just hasn't had an opportunity to see the lefties at the top of the league, you know, at AA, AAA, major league level lefty. And, you know, that's something he's going to have to adjust to. We don't think it's going to be an issue that gets in his way. We're trying to accelerate that development with some of what we're doing in April down in Arizona, be it in these co-op games or with our minor league games.
Bump, is that fair to you?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You got to be able to hit left-handers. You need that experience. That's what it's all about, is at-bats, mm-hmm. being in situations, seeing different pitches, seeing different pitchers. That experience is invaluable. So that makes sense to me. I think that it's important for him to see lefties, and it's important for him to have success against them, not just see them, because he can see them and they're blowing by him, but to have success against them. And I think the more lefties he sees, the more success he's going to have, because this kid is successful, he's confident, and he's ready to go.
All right, Cut 6 here. And Curtis, I might have a question for you after this. So this is Jerry Dipoto, again, with SiriusXM, explaining the co-op league in Arizona and some of their best prospects out there.
And in the meantime, we've got Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez, who both had excellent springs and really couldn't have done more to open eyes. They're playing down in Arizona in a organized co-op league that we've got working down there that's very similar to the Arizona Fall League. We've got the better prospects from multiple teams in the West Valley of Phoenix playing games, and Jared and Julio, among others, Cal Raleigh, some of our best young pitchers, are getting regular reps in that space between when the major league camp ended and the minor league camp begins.
Now, normally in a normal season without COVID, Kelnick would go to Modesto or he'd go to wherever and he would get his at-bats there and his experience there, and then he'd be promoted from there. We all know how this works. But this year it's a bit different. You have your alternate site and then you have your separate league in Arizona. Now, Curtis, we know that the AAA or that the minor league season, that the Rainiers won't have a minor league season for about a month. It was delayed a month. So would you expect then for a guy like Jared Kelnick that they want him to play in the co-op league in Arizona and then take a month or so in the minors? Or do they think that, is your interpretation of this that spending a month or so here is enough?
I think that's what it's going to be. I think Kelnick will play in this league that, you know, is kind of like unsanctioned games or whatever,
right.
You know, just something ridiculous like that. But the main reason that Kelnick is playing in this league right now and not at the alternate training site is that he can get at-bats against other teams pitching, that he can see other guys rather than, you know, Emerson Hancock and Logan Gilbert, the same guys he saw all summer last year, where to a point you don't, I think you do hit a ceiling in your development if you're facing the same guys over and over again. There's more of a randomness to it if you're facing the A's and the Giants and all those guys and their players. I think that's why Kelnick is here, and I don't think he's going to be at any team's alternate training site this year. And I think there's the Mariners' alternate training site is here in Seattle at T-Mobile Park. It's not at Cheney Stadium like it was last year. So the times in which they play during the day are kind of different. If it's a night game for the Mariners, it's an early morning alternate training site day for those guys. And then vice versa if it's flipped like that. So it's a weird schedule that the alternate training site is on this year. I think they want to keep Kelnick under as normal circumstances as possible.
All right, and one last cut here. One prospect that we haven't talked about as much, I think it's because all conversation about Jared Kelnick kind of covered everything else, particularly after the Kevin Mather tape, but it's Logan Gilbert, who was also expected to make his debut, expected to be one of your pitchers of the future, and guess what? You're going to need some help there. This is what DePoto had to say about their plan for Gilbert.
We built an inning model for him this year where we would slowly ramp him up, roughly starting in late April, early May, with the hope that we were going to be able to preserve as many of his innings as possible for him to throw at the end of the season. You know, he's actually never pitched through a full calendar baseball season, and we want to see that happen. And we believe it's going to finish with him pitching a large majority of those innings at the big league level. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we get him through, using the six-man rotation that we're using, get him through the end of this season, having pitched a complete year. And I feel like that will have been a win for us developmentally.
Has he been one of those prospects that you're also keeping an eye on, really excited to see this year, Bump?
Yep. There were, four at one point? Evan White, Logan Gilbert, Kelenic, and Julio Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. These are the guys who are hopefully going to be the foundation of this baseball team. You know, last year you had a mix of veterans and rookies, and now these rookies are getting older again, more experience. You hear him talk about Logan Gilbert. We want to make sure he gets through a full year. There's no need to rush this guy, especially seeing what just happened to Paxton. Now, Paxton has a different history when it comes to injuries, but pitchers are fragile. I mean, they're making an unnatural motion, throwing that baseball.
Yep.
You have to make sure these guys can withstand a full season.
I was explaining that to my mom the other day, that she just like the basic stuff of, and she was fascinated by it, but the idea that, like, yeah, then you wear an ice pack on your arm for the entire day, and the next day you can't lift your arm. Like, it was just, you got to be careful. All right. Could you guys bury the hatchet with A-Rod if he brought back the Sonics? I want to know what you think. Bump wants to know what you think. Call 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Again, those numbers, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Call now. We're taking your calls next.